Happy New Year. I'm Douglas Bell, co-host of PHP BB Weekly, and this is a special release of PHP BB Weekly, episode number 92. This episode covers some of our favorite moments from the 46 episodes of PHP BB Weekly that we recorded this year. These clips range from our funniest moments to our favorite interviews, from discussion of major PHP BB announcements, and there were a lot of them, to clips of some of the more interesting places that PHP BB Weekly went to this year. PHP BB Weekly has come a long way in 2008, and it's been great to relive the show's past year as I put this clip show episode together. There were a number of other episodes that we wanted to clip from for this episode, but due to time constraints, we had to cut them out. We hope that you'll check out our list of runner-up episodes for the on the show notes for this episode to see links to some of our other favorites from this past year. And so, without further ado, enjoy this look back at the best of 2008 on PHP BB Weekly.
Yeah,
that's just how it happened. We have a very, very special guest today. This is someone I've wanted to have join us since in the last 9 months. I've been thinking about this, wanting to have him be able to come on the air. And so we're very glad today to welcome Patrick O'Keefe from phpbbhacks.com and the iFroggy Network.
Hey guys, thanks for having me. Congratulations on the 50th episode.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. We're really looking forward to it. Now, one thing that Patrick and I had a chance to talk about briefly was sort of some of the differences just in sort of I call it philosophy between phpbb.com's mod database and phpbbhacks.com. And, of course, David was just saying, no, PHP.com, they actually validate everything, and they have lots of high standards and all these things. Whereas PHPBBHacks.com, you had told me something like that. You guys think it's important for allow the mod author to be able to take charge of the code and being able to could you talk about, sort of elaborate a little bit more on how PHPBBHacks works in sort of its control of what the mod author is able to do.
Sure. I think validation can be a great thing, and I have nothing against it. You know, I'm glad that phpbb.com provides that service to the community. Mm-hmm. Difference with phpbbhacks.com is really, you know, something that we've been doing from the start is to really allow authors to take charge of and be responsible for their downloads and what's in their .zip files. You know, we allow them to, and I mean that in the true sense of the word, to take responsibility and to be accountable for what's in their packages. Mm-hmm. This is open source software, and I think that's something that some authors appreciate. And that's not to say we won't change something that's in their .zip file. If there's a problem, if there's an issue, if there is some sort of inappropriate content in there, we won't hesitate to go in there and fix it or pull it and let the author know. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we really do believe that they can be responsible for their creations.
Now, do you, when a mod author submits, or a hack author, whatever you'd call it, submits something to phpbbhacks.com, do you guys review it in any sort of way, or does it go right on the site or something like that?
Right. HackMod doesn't matter. You can say whatever you want. I just use hack because it's a part of my vocabulary at this point.
I was on the mod team, so I'm used to saying mod. So
right. Feel free. I don't care. Feel free. Yeah. Now, if with the submissions, they don't just go right onto our website. Mm-hmm. I review, and this has been true since day one, and this is a time-consuming part of the site, is I personally review all the submissions myself.
Wow.
And I look at the submission as far as what is in, I read everything in there. So the hack title description, everything they put, I make sure that the submission is accurate, description-wise, title-wise, you know, whatever you want to say, that, you know, it's consistent with other downloads in our database, that it's grammatically consistent, that the authors, everything is correct, any of the related hacks are linked to, and that, you know, the download itself is taken from wherever it's hosted and it's uploaded to our server. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's kind of how I review it. Like I said, we don't really go after what's in the zip file as far as, you know, the description or how it's formatted necessarily. If we want them to have an understandable hack description and understandable installation instructions,
yes.
How they accomplish that is up to them. And, you know, if they follow the phpbb.com template, as many do, that's great. Mm-hmm. You know, it works well. Some of them might have used something a little modified from that, and that also works well. So, you know, as long as they put out a hack that works and that it's understandable and the installation instructions are understandable, then that's good by us.
So you don't necessarily have a specified template, but you do want to make sure that the installation instructions are at least intelligible.
Absolutely. Yes. We don't want to have anything that's that if it's confusing, and you know, I always encourage people to tell me these things. If you find something that's wrong, you know, we're visited by thousands and thousands of people every day, of course. So mm-hmm. if something's wrong, I find out.
Yes.
And I always encourage reports. I encourage them in links on the site, on the download, in my signature, everywhere. And I handle those reports personally as well. And, you know, I read everything that's sent to me. And if there's a problem, it's always investigated and taken care of as soon as possible. And I work with my team to accomplish that and to identify problems and also to fix them as needed.
Mm-hmm. So now, basically my question is this, do you basically rely on community feedback to ensure that mods or hacks that are uploaded to PHPBB hacks don't have something like a vulnerability or even where they might install a virus or a vulnerability into the site that they are being installed into?
Right. Well, we rely on authors. If you want to say rely on, really, it's authors. Like I said, really, we really allow them to be responsible for and accountable for their package. So, you know, I don't want to say expect, but we entrust in them the ability to run their hack or their template, graphic, whatever, as they see fit. And that's a part of creating the hack, obviously, is writing the code and checking it. And, you know, these are people who can program and people who can competently run a project, mostly. So we really rely on them, if anyone else. And another thing that's important to note is that every hack that's installed, every download that's on phpbbhacks.com is on my personal computer. And my personal computer scans, obviously, .zip files that come down. Mm-hmm. And obviously, my definitions are up to date. So as far as viruses, you know, any of that really hasn't happened. But that would get weeded out, most likely. And
right. Well, what I mean is basically, okay, let's say I could do is I can create them. What's that?
Is that what you're saying? They embed something. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, not embed the actual virus, but you can easily, you know, I can, right. Even a mod author, not everybody, especially mod authors, not everybody's going to be trustworthy. They're going to, you know, sometimes you may create a mod or a mod author may create a mod for the purpose of being able to hack the particular site that installed that mod later down the road. And right. So, for example, let's say even as in a virus sense, you know, they could have a mod where they're programmed to grab a virus and automatically download it to a computer through IE once the mod is installed on a particular board. Yeah, the virus is not going to be packaged in the mod itself, but the mod would enable a virus to be downloaded through the site by installing the mod.
Right. You know, that sort of thing is always possible with any submission to any site, and it's always possible that it could get listed. Now, as far as it happening, it hasn't happened. That's not to say it won't. It might. But, you know, submissions are not just glossed over and, you know, passed on. There's some level of scrutiny in there as far as, you know, if something looks a little strange, if something appears to be suspicious, then it'll be looked into. I mean, usually with someone who – I've been dealing with people online for a long time, like I said, managing communities for a long time. And usually when someone wants to do something like that, they won't use their own site or they won't use a personal domain name that is associated with them as a PHPBB author. You know, that because then they would obviously identify themselves as someone who is – doing this sort of thing, and then they obviously would further not be allowed to submit to the database if it was shown to be something that they had intended to do. Mm-hmm. So, you know, these submissions aren't just glossed over. There is a level of discretion in there that is checked, that submission is checked with. It's not – this code itself isn't – I don't rigorously – we don't rigorously scrutinize the code. We're allowed, like I said, allow the authors to take charge of the download and be responsible for it. And if an author proves his or herself to be incapable or untrustworthy, which really hasn't happened, to be honest, then that author will – there will be repercussions for that author. You know, with the responsibility to take care of your download comes – repercussions if you fail in that responsibility.
And as a reminder, mm-hmm. whoever's installing the hacks or mods is always, always, always encouraged to back up their stuff before they do so.
Right. So. And that's the case with anything. Whenever you install anything, you should always do that.
As a reminder.
Yeah.
Recording is on Friday, and this morning, what popped into my CVS list for, or sorry, Subversion now, check-ins list, was a code sniffer. Is PHP is a PHP development team like hiring bloodhounds now or something?
Yes. That's exactly what they're doing. And actually, truth be told, I hadn't heard they were going to implement a code sniffer.
What is a code sniffer? Code.
Now, okay, now the code sniffer that this is referring to the check-in by Naderman, and he only added a directory. That's it. That's all he added. There's nothing else for us to look at and try and speculate on. So all we have is the word
code sniffer. For the code sniffer to get his nose.
Right. It is for PHP unit testing. That's all I know.
Unit testing.
It's related to the PHP unit tester. That's
it. What is unit testing?
That's related to the QA team that's been started on phpbb.com.
Uh-huh. And is that quack and assassinate, or what's it? I'm serious. When I said that, I was thinking the first two letter words that started with Q and A.
quack.
That's what came
up. That's what we're going to call it from now on, the quack and assassinate team. We have actually some devoted listeners that are on the quack and assassinate team. Such as, let's see, who do we have on there? Raj Block, John Jort.
He seems like our number one fan of this show. He like always love what we're doing, which is great for me personally. I always love the ego boost.
Right. I have an explanation of what that team does.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes.
They either assure quality or they hunt ducks. actually, we had I'm here. No, I'm going to mention it because they served duck for dinner at the hotel. I was too chicken to try it, and that's why I opted for the chicken instead. But my roommate here tried the duck.
So how was the duck?
How was the duck?
It tasted like puke on a stick.
That was no stick.
I know, it's disgusting.
No, you said it was okay. Someone said it's an acquired taste.
Doug, acquired taste is just another way of saying it. They didn't like the way it tasted.
Yeah, exactly. He said it was thinking of the Aflac commercials the whole time he was trying.
No wonder it tasted bad.
Then we got into this long discussion about, you know, the fact that ducks are the smart animals because they're the ones that are able to sell you insurance, kind of like geckos and cavemen.
You don't find many people eating ducks.
Exactly.
It's an acquired taste.
Yes. So someone on quack would eat ducks.
The QA team. It's the quality assurance team. What do they do?
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, it's what we do to them. We take everybody on the QA team and we stick them in a room, closed chamber. Yeah.
And you unleash the birdie army on them?
Yes. We force them to test PHPBB 3 releases before a new release without sleep or food or water. Day and night until every bit of the code has been tested and the next PHP 3 release is ready.
So and that's why it's been so long for 3.0.1 to come out.
Yeah.
Because you guys have been trying.
Not yet. It's not ready yet. That's not why. Oh. They're still implementing bugs in there. But anyway,
they're implementing bugs?
Yeah.
Aren't they supposed to do the opposite?
No, they implement bugs now. Otherwise, what would they have to do?
Yeah, I thought you were kidding.
No, and then once we're finished with the QA team, we release them back to their wives and their lives, whichever is worse.
Oh, dear. that is probably something that – okay, you know, I think in that case, if that's what you're planning to do, you do not want to hire former Governor Spitzer on that job.
I have no idea who that is.
Oh, good. Okay, I applaud you for successfully ignoring all of the crazy media that makes up the United States.
I told them that we would put them on Win32 desktops. And X-Reaction asked, why Win32? And I said, I don't know. They certainly ain't Macs. And,
no, I think for some of the members on the team, and I'm sure you know exactly about this, they probably would actually have a worse time on a Mac.
But for people like Yuri, that would be like torture. That would be like the worst torture you could give him.
Yes.
Yuri is Marco Rusty, for those who don't know.
Yes. He's been,
And he's going to listen to this and really let me have it on IRC.
For those of you who are listening, and now we can see how horrible this has been in 12 minutes. This is going to be what our episode is today. So.
Yeah, another an hour of this.
Yeah,
or two.
That's just we're having fun. It's late in the evening. All the music's seeping through. This episode of PHP BB Weekly is brought to you by Lancaster Funeral Homes, the official funeral home of PHP BB2. Today, our big topic of discussion. This was probably inevitable, although somewhat of a surprise to me that you guys already announced it this early. But on Wednesday, Neothermic, Ashley, you posted the plans for the early retirement of PHP BB 2.0. How about you guys, either one of you, start by sort of detailing how this came about and what exactly you're planning to be doing?
I'll probably fill in with this one first, if
you
doesn't mind. Excellent, he said all me. Basically what happens is it sort of stems from a while ago when we were busy doing 3.0 stuff. The developers were doing conversion from CVS to SCN, various other things. And it then became apparent that we were going to need to release a 2.0 patch. And it took about 2 weeks worth of time from us to get down to getting everything done with PHP V2, tested, and so on and so forth. And it was at that point we, the team leaders, decided that we needed to think very carefully about the future of 2.0 if it's going to be detracting from the developer's time.
So essentially the 2.0.23 release, was that kind of why 3.0.1 took so long to come out?
It was a part of it, yes. Hmm. I'm sure there are probably a few more mitigating circumstances for 3.1's delay, but 3.0 one, should we say. But I can't divulge those ones. Basically what happened was is that we then started to discuss reasons for retirement if we wanted to come to it and other plans. Basically what happens is I'm just going to have to quickly ask you, can you mute your microphone when you're not speaking?
But it is muted.
You're typing.
Your typing is... There we go. Basically what happens is we also then noted that PHPB Group was retiring PHP 4, which was problematic as well, because we couldn't, it's not exactly a good thing to say to people if you want to run PHPB V2 that you'd need to run PHP 4. It just wasn't a sort of thing that we could go ahead and do. So we continued with other ideas. We looked at an idea of 2.2. Mm-hmm. We looked at an idea of seeing what could be fixed in 2.0, if anything. The problems we had is that every time that we worked up a theory to sort of, in essence, delay the inevitable, we came across problems. If we want to continue with 2.0, we'd at least want to do a code audit. We'd at least want to do a security audit, a paid one. Uh-huh. And both of these would detract developer time. The code audit has the potential of breaking modifications, and the security audit has also the potential of breaking modifications.
Yeah.
If you break modifications, you piss people off.
I remember a few years ago, you guys did a unpaid security audit, which resulted in the release of 2.0.18, which had numerous changes, many of which were very tiny changes, but they broke a lot of mods.
Exactly, and this is the problem. I mean, someone suggested in the 2.0 discussion topic, you know, why can't you do a 2.2? That becomes an even more laborious problem, because then you're introducing a whole entire extra version, which the support team has to learn, modification team have to learn, and modders have to learn as well. Stylers would probably have to adjust their styles to work between the two versions, and it would, in essence, it comes across the same problems that we had with 3.0 while it was still being considered as 2.2.
Yeah.
But changing so much, you can't just call it an incremental upgrade. It's an evolution. Yuri, got anything to add there?
Even RC6, Olympus RC6, it added the tokens to the forums, and it broke just about every style there was.
Yeah.
And then it took at least 3 months for everything to get updated, even though it was just such a basic change, and we had to write articles about how users could update their own styles and all sorts of things for custom styles, and it was just a big headache. And this is, I mean, it would be far, far more than this.
Well, it's tough because... So.
And what would be the point?
Things that happened back when you got, when about 5 or so years ago, when they started developing what was going to be 2.2, they ran into the problem where they went a little bit too far, to the point where they made so many changes that it ended up being 3.0 and taking 5 years.
That was following the lines of what happens is that the original plan for 2.2 was to build on 2.0 and have these features. The problem came that you couldn't introduce these features without, you know, an evolution rather than an upgrade. And the evolution required a rewrite, and because of the rewrite, nothing was compatible.
Yes. And even if you guys had done a smaller 2.2 at the time, you probably would by now be at a 3.0 type of space, because at this point, the 2.0 code is already so out of date.
Certainly. I mean, the thing is one thing that people really don't realize is 2.0 was actually written to run mainly on PHP 3.
Yes.
While it was being developed, PHP 4 came out, small changes were made to make sure it was compatible with PHP 4 installations as well, and it was released. So basically, when people say, oh, it runs fine on PHP 5, yes, it does, but we don't support it because there are actually instances of problems where it will not run on PHP 5. We were never able to track down the reasons why, and the main thing that would cause is you wouldn't be unable to adjust permissions, both users and forums, in the admin panel, which is a pretty big problem.
Yes.
Because a whole entire forum sort of relates around its permission structure. So, you know, we had to make a rule, and that's what we've basically been doing. Yuri?
I said this in that topic in the 2.0 discussion forum. I think I scared everyone off because nobody has replied in about 12 hours, more than that. just PHPB as a project has grown so much that we have a different standard for things that we release. Even the mods and the database, things like that, they're just a much higher standard, and 2.0 no longer meets that standard. And I mean, that's pretty much all there is to it. There'll be no way to support something that is just below everything else that we put out there. And if the goal is to have a light version of 3.0, then I would say that it's probably easier to strip down 3.0 than it would be to start from 2.0 and work your way up to a more basic version of 3.0. If anything, you could look at the 3.0 code and then say, which of these features could be removed to make this thing lighter? Like a permission system could be really significantly decreased. But then you would have to question what the point of that would be.
Well, that's kind of my opinion, because main reason I'm attached to PHPBB2 is because I think that pure ignoring the code and all that wonderful stuff, I'm not familiar with PHPBB3's code as much as I am with PHPBB2. I know PHPBB3 is much more secure, all that wonderful stuff. I still like PHPBB2 primarily because I think that it has a simpler admin interface that I think is easier to adopt, doesn't require as much of a learning curve as PHPBB3 does. And I would be in favor of doing like a PHPBB3 Lite thing
and quite frankly, in the discussion topics on phpb.com that I started, the most people that the main reason for the people that are against PHP BB3, against PHP BB2 being retired is I think they like mostly because they like the interface of that, and I think it sounds like they prefer that over the PHP BB3 interface.
And there will always be people who like something, a more basic approach than a more complicated approach, but unfortunately, there's no easy way to increase a permission system that's so basic like the one in PHP BB2. Yeah. You really have to go in there and change a whole bunch of code, whereas it is relatively simple to use masks, permission masks and things like that, and to make the permission system in 3.0 relatively easier. Obviously, the internet is moving forward if you're trying to keep up, you know, so...
I will agree that the current permission masks thing in PHP BB3 is much better than some of the ones back when PHP BB3 was still in CVS. I mean, that was hideous. I can actually somewhat do it now.
So there you go. Obviously, this isn't going to be a happy move for everyone, and... As I did also say in that topic, a few people said that they're running PHP v2 boards with 250 mods and things like that. If you're running a PHP v2 board with more mods than there have been 2.0 releases, then you're running a custom port for all intents and purposes. Ultimately, you're no longer running the core PHP v2, and you're probably not looking for support from us because we probably won't be able to help you anyway because you have so many mods in there. In that sense...
Okay, yeah, sorry.
That's pretty much it.
All right, hello, welcome to V Bulletin Weekly, episode number 56 for Saturday, March 29th, 2008. V Bulletin Weekly is the weekly live podcast where we talk exclusively about the V Bulletin board software at vbulletin.com. I am, of course, your co-host, Douglas Bell, Webmaster and Selling Fountain of Apples. And joining me, as always, David Lewis.
It's also known as High Wheel of Life.
That's right.
On forums.
You're doing all right there? Yes. And so, you're listening. So, V Bulletin Weekly, of course, I need to mention that V Bulletin Weekly, we're not affiliated with anyone at the Gelsoft teams or anyone else at V Bulletin. .com. This is just a thing that we
vbulletin.org, vbulletin.com.
Because we're big fans of the V Bulletin software. If you'd like to be a part of V Bulletin Weekly, we record live every Saturday, normally at noon Eastern. Today we're a little off for various reasons. The number to call is 724-444-7444. The call ID number is 12418. Or, of course, you can join in on the chat room as we talk. Okay, hold on. Okay, we have not lost our minds. we know that we're not quite on time, but Tuesday is April Fool's Day, so we're doing a special for V Bulletin Weekly today because Tuesday is April Fool's Day, so we're going to go a little off our nut for a bit.
So we go, ha, April Fool's.
Yes.
Everybody in the chat room is like, we, VV, and Paul goes, VV.
What's
VV? And Paul goes, yes. That's PHPVP for weird software.
Exactly, yes. But we're serious. We're actually going to do a show today all about V Bulletin.
Seriously.
Yes. It's an April Fool's
Day. Douglas has put a lot of energy and time into getting topics together for V Bulletin Weekly.
Yes,
and it's kind of hard to say V Bulletin Weekly when you're so used to saying it the other way.
Actually, I think it's easier than saying PHPBB Weekly.
Well, it is easier than saying, but it's hard because you're so used to saying it the other way.
No, I'm not used to saying it. you hear me at the very beginning. I'm still saying PHPBB Weekly is a proud member of the Tech Plus.
You sometimes sound like mixed up, or combine the two P's.
V Bulletin Weekly. Anyway, that's what we're doing today. If you'd like to comment or share your feelings or other comments about V Bulletin, you can do that on today's episode of V Bulletin Weekly. But anyway, for today's episode, since we're sure that a number of people who are listening right now are not familiar with the way around V Bulletin. we don't know why we've been listening to 56 episodes of V Bulletin Weekly.
but it's not V Bulletin Weekly. We're going to cover all of V Bulletin in one show.
Somewhat, yes. Yes. Anyway, so we're going to sort of do an introduction to vBulletin today, and that includes talking a bit about the history, the requirements, the other amazing things if you want to become an administrator of vBulletin. And yes, we are going to do vBulletin hacks of the week and styles of the week at the end of the
skins.
Show. Skins.
They're called skins.
Hacks and skins, yes. I love it. Well, it depends who you go. They don't seem to have a single name for it because I found mods and styles on there as well.
You just find styles?
Okay.
Yes. I found skins. When I was looking for it, I was searching for vBulletin styles and I got skins.
Yeah. Well, I found modifications and hacks. They don't call them mods. They call them modifications or else hacks. Whatever.
Yeah. We like to shorten everything.
Okay. So.
And unify it.
Let's start by giving us. Actually, right after we did PHP vBulletin Weekly last week, and I think it's kind of ironic that this was literally half an hour after we closed up shop last week.
Just for you, Douglas.
Yes. I think there's some conspiracy going on. But anyway, Yuri was the one to post in the announcements forum the first ever live PHP BB conference called London Invasion 2008. It's going to be held at a hotel near London Heathrow Airport on Sunday, July 20th, all day. And so we've asked Yuri to come on and tell us about this.
First, as you read the announcement, hopefully it's the first one in the announcements forums on .com. So, I mean, if you have any specific questions, I'll be happy to answer. I think the big one that everyone was asking is whether this is set in stone and, you know, whether we're planning to cancel it tomorrow. No, there are no plans to cancel it tomorrow. It'll happen unless something out of our control occurs. You know, I'd rather not speculate as to what kind of natural disasters or unnatural disasters would cause us to cancel such a thing. But, of course, you know, living in a 2008 world, you never really know what could happen. And so I'm not going to say that there's a 100% absolutely, you know, everyone will be there. But as long as nothing that's out of our control occurs, it won't be canceled.
What I thought the first time I saw this was, it reminds me very much, you know, people who have been following me, particularly on my other, what was my other show, which just ended, was I've gone to Automattic's WordCamp for WordPress for the last 2 years, and that was also rerouted back in 2006, kind of similar, and they met in San Francisco, which is why I was able to go, and it was just a one day, they were going to do it like a bar camp type thing with a with presenters coming, and it was going to be, for them anyway, the first time for their group of developers and people that they work with to come together and meet each other for the first place. Similarly, this is going to be the first time that most of the PHP BB team members, which are spread worldwide, will be able to come together and be able to meet each other as well as a number of the users. A very interesting event that you guys are planning.
Yes, and that's the main goal. We kind of want to meet the community and each other. I've met Ashley, and Ashley's met Nils, and I think a few other people, John, I believe.
David's met his brother.
They're close by. So, I mean, they're fairly close by.
Him too, yes. So, David, you were going to ask a number of questions about this, so how about we get going so our listeners can learn a bit about this. Also, if your listeners who are in the chat room or want to call in, please go ahead and ask questions, and we will try to cover them as best as possible in the time we have left. David, take it away.
Neothermic, first of all, is saying, barring hit by being hit by an asteroid or the Great Fire of London, I'll be there. The teams itself, now, Yuri, correct me if I'm wrong, but we actually decided, you know, let's meet up ourselves, and then we're like, you know what, let's open it to the community as well. Mm-hmm. So even if it's just us being there and 50 other people, it's still going to happen.
And that was the real thing, because if we were all going to be in one place, we thought that it would just be a waste, all that money that would go into just flying there, because, you know, it is expensive for everyone to buy tickets. So all that money that would go in there, we thought it would be kind of foolish not to take that opportunity and make this a public event.
Yeah.
The first public event. And the first public event is really the key here, because it's so difficult. Since we really don't know what type of outcome, what will happen, we don't know how many people would be interested and all sorts of things. So there's no precedent. Hopefully there will be after this, and hopefully it'll be a you'll remember this as a good event rather than a disaster. But in, as Ashley just said, even if there are 50 people and us, we'll still be there, and that's absolutely true. The way that we booked the room, we were paying for the room and not for any individual person who's coming. So it really doesn't matter how many people show up. We will still hold the event, even if there are 50 or 100. But I really don't think that's going to be a problem, to be honest.
What if there's 1,000?
I think there are more than enough people. You know, there are limits, of course, to how many people we can allow. So at some point, when we're nearing our limit, I will make that announcement. So maybe 50 people or 100 people before. Just kind of let everyone know that we are reaching the end there. So just for quality control, we don't want 5,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
So
now we have a question in the chat room from Ozenthal. Why did we choose London as a location?
This was voted upon by the team members. It was, I think, originally between New York and London. New York would have been kind of easier for me to plan, now that I think about it. But all the same, it's fine, thanks to the internet and telephones, things like that. Really no problem in communication.
Mm-hmm. So, now, you did fly to London, of course, and handpick, basically, the hotel.
Right. It would have been silly not to do it, I think, because we otherwise wouldn't have been able to look at the hotels. And, there were a few mix-ups with that, and I left my list at home, and I had to kind of remember who it is that we were supposed to go see.
Mm-hmm.
But we did eventually find a very, very good hotel, and there's free Wi-Fi in the hotel, something that not many of the other hotels did.
Oh, free Wi-Fi in a hotel? Oh, boy. Wow.
Yes, free Wi-Fi, and they comped Wi-Fi for us completely, which was a biggie because very few other hotels were willing to do that.
Yeah.
And due to a couple other things, they had the biggest room, I believe, out of everyone. There were other, I think, bigger rooms that were available that I spoke to previously, but they were far, far too large and far too expensive for our needs and for our budget. So, unfortunately, we'll have to limit it to a certain number this year. I won't actually mention what the number is just yet.
Yeah.
We'd like to start this off. So, if this is successful, I'm sure this won't be the last event we'll ever hold. So, there's stress on this is the first, of hopefully many. And they probably won't all be in London. I would be very surprised if we... The whole point of conferences is that you can hold them in different places. So it's just that this particular conference is being held in London.
It's the pressure of the first future. Conference and making that successful so that you can have subsequent conferences, yeah?
I think the reason why it was London rather than New York mostly is because the majority of people are European who use PHPBB. I mean, there are plenty of people in the United States, I'm sure, but most of the team specifically are closer to Europe, except those that are very far away from Europe.
Right. So for a lot of people, it was just taking the train or a hop over the channel, right?
See, if you guys had done
New
York, I have frequent flyer miles. I could have gone to New York on a particular airline, but the airline doesn't go to London, so I can't go.
Yeah, unfortunately, I do also have frequent flyer miles in the U.S., not so much internationally. But, you win some, you lose some, and this is going to be good for some people who, people in France or Germany who it's just a couple hours for them. Probably a couple hours.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little more for others, especially those from New Zealand or Australia. For who it's, I think it's like a 15 or 16 hour flight with stops in between in Hong Kong or in other places. So it's that's quite a long flight. I mean, for me it was I think 5 hours or it was probably like 6 hours, and it was very comfortable. Like they fed us twice. So wasn't a problem. There were two big meals, and I was very, this is American Airlines, by the way, spam. there have been some bad things said about American Airlines, but really there really was no issues, except on our way back, the guy bumped when he was landing, and the masks came down. So I think there was a breach somewhere in the plane, because the mask, it got really loud all of a sudden. Like, you could hear the outside and the engines. It got really, really loud. So I think something opened up somewhere. But apart from that little glitch, there really were no... So we were
just
on the ground,
everybody, you know.
we were on the ground, so I don't really think that there's.
Okay, so
it could have just been burst thrusters.
Talking about what's going to actually be taking place at this conference all day on Sunday, July 20th. What are you guys going to be doing?
Well, we haven't released an actual plan yet, mostly because we're not sure who wants to speak.
What do you hope?
But as realistically, the point of the conference is to meet up with people. So, it'll be a very interactive conference, hopefully, and we will all,
we will have speakers,
able to interact and mingle and such. There'll be a question and answer, an open question and answer, where, you know, there'll be a panel, and you'll be able to ask whatever you want. Then there will be...
We're going to hand out free copies of PHBBB 3.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you enjoy most?
What do you enjoy most about being on the team?
Oh,
don't say free trips to London.
Free trips to London. Mine wasn't quite free yet, so you know.
Birdies, quite large.
Yeah. Birdies.
Even way closer to me, I see.
The ability to use wonderful.
That's a Cherokee Red.
That's a Cherokee Red, aka Sticker Boy for the day. Just the community in general is one of the best communities I've seen from all my time using the internet. I've never seen a community as big and as good as PHPBB. The interaction between all the team members is fantastic. We can have a laugh and we can have a joke with each other, internally and externally, but we can also be serious at the same time, which I think is good and is necessary for a team to kind of survive, basically.
I agree with that one, actually. Yeah, the community is a good drive, and the team members as well.
Okay. You have to eventually. David MJ.
So one nice thing is, you're able to produce a product that, as far as you know, is very useful to people who, you know, don't have the money to get ripped off. if you can't afford being ripped off, you could always go and, you know, download something that will get you infected or owned or whatever. So being able to, you know, as far as we know, help people in general, be able to create a nice community where they can talk to each other and discuss things is very nice. It's also a very interesting engineering challenge. Like, usually one doesn't get the chance to try to design software that's supposed to be used in many different ways. Like, you know, when I originally started working on the community coding projects, I didn't, you know, think about, well, maybe one day I'll be writing code that, you know, lots and lots of people will use. But I can now, you know, do this, which is a very rare opportunity.
We have one more answer over here.
This is Adam Marr from the support team. One thing, in addition to everyone, what I went around said is one of the cool things I find about it is that PHPBB is used by millions of people around the world. It's one of the most, if not the most, used form of software on the internet. And it's just cool to realize that you're part of something that is literally changing the face of the internet. The decisions that are made putting into the project, the decisions that we made, if you add a feature, if you add a specific community aspect, it's something that very down the road is very well could probably be a standard on the internet. It could change the way things are evolving. One of the other great things that I've loved about it is just the interaction with both the community and especially the other team members as well. I've been on the teams for close to 4 years now, And when I came here to London, this was really the first meetup that we really have had. I know in communities where people have been closer together, people have met on their own. But as a global meetup, this is the first time that we've actually had it. I felt that when the first time I saw the other team members, it was almost as if we already knew each other. We never seen each other face to face, and there was no discomfort whatsoever with interacting with everybody else, because we have talked to these people day in, day out, and it's just great to be part of such a phenomenal community.
Any other questions?
Yes.
Yes, we have several from the.
Let's just do one more here. Yeah.
Actually, Paul has one from IRC, I think.
Yes, I'm from IRC. I think there's always one more for David. How did you get started with programming PHP and PHPBB itself? It's from Granny.
Let's see. PHP. So, back in the dark ages of the internet, there were very few options with regards to forum software. And before PHPBB, I don't think I have ever interacted with PHP. And it was I use the word interesting, finding out how PHP worked, so-called worked. And with regards to PHPBB, after using it for the reason why I needed to use it, I got really interested in how maybe it could be very much more improved. So the community coding projects was an avenue where this could be explored, and the event system to me seemed to be the most interesting and probably the most challenging and the most useful. So I did that with Mills, and the rest is, 2 years ago. Can't really say history, but that's really it.
Any of my questions now? Or?
Yes.
Okay, so the first question comes from Hank the Cowdog. Will a quick reply. Will quick reply ever be built into PHPBB?
No.
Remember that disclaimer that we talked about?
We know where you live. We're coming now.
Okay. The next question. What is the likelihood of a dark style coming as a default with future releases of PHPBB 3? Or PHPBB, I should say.
No.
Dark style?
It's time to talk.
Oh, a dark style. I thought they were referring to a certain kind of style.
No, I'm assuming it's like the style is just dark.
Or yeah, like he's like a
We probably should
mostly leave those up to the style.
Yeah, so there are no known plans to greatly surprise our users with a completely new style. For a minor version release. So, I mean, who can say several months or years down the road? But there are no immediate plans. I can say that much.
Any other questions?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Okay. This one is from Patricia. Is this the first time team members have met? And if so, how does it feel to meet fellow team members and actually get to know them?
This isn't the first time that all of us have met as it is, if that makes sense, in the sense that some of us have met before. I know that I met Nils and Henry and John at Linux Tag. And I've met John and Nils in London before, and I met Yuri before
for London Vision. Actually, he came over so he can search for the hotels for London Vision. And I think quite a few of the other team members have met each other here and there, but in essence, this is the first time we've all met in one place.
Well, not all. I mean, there are some.
Well, yeah, there's people missing, but everybody who's currently has met in one place, so.
That big, first big gathering would be the best word to use.
Yeah, I guess. The first gathering has been over more than five.
First time we've tried to get everybody together.
All right, so next question. This one's coming from Drugs. When is 3.2... Actually, Drugs has been a nice... strange username, but he's been great helping me with support on many of my mods, so can't complain. Anyway, his question is, when is 3.2 expected to be released? I know this is years, but just wondering.
Hopefully not years, but I can say that it will be done when it is done. we say it's the day after, the day before it's finished. So, let them figure that one out.
Alright, the next question. Well, actually, I think the Cal said maybe it was a bad idea to ask about Quick Reply. Anyway, his question next was, if you do more conferences, or evasions is the way you put it, do you think it will be yearly or every couple of years?
Yes.
Well, yeah, Yuri, you want to add to that?
Yeah, I think there is already talk about the next one, which would be probably next year. We won't say a location just yet, but yes.
The Bahamas.
definitely.
See you all
back. Of all the places, I think we can pretty much rule out the Bahamas. But it won't be in London. It will be probably
somewhere else.
Western-er. in that big kind
general
of
direction.
Here we come, Cardiff.
Yeah, but we'll probably try to make this at least a biannual event, or maybe an annual event. Yeah, as long as we're able to, I think everyone would want to do it again.
Hell yeah. So I think that's a good enough answer for that
one. Dublov said it will be in San Francisco, hopefully.
Neothermic still wants to make quick reply, Stagmus. Okay, this next question comes from Dogs and Things.
So we're going to start out this episode with the segment we've been doing almost every episode for the last couple of months, our London Vision Update. London Vision was last week, wasn't it? Okay, let's strike that. Our London Vision recap. And for that, we're going to ask David to help to start out talk about what you guys did at London Vision, and of course Paul and Yuri as well. It's all yours.
What did we do at London Vision? We met and we ate. That's what we did.
And you got squashed on by Birdiezilla, right?
No, we didn't get squashed by Birdiezilla. But Birdiezilla was there. We discussed world domination plans with Birdiezilla.
Uh-huh.
And no. It's to be sure, it's really world domination.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I want you to tell us about everything that happened at London Vision, especially because you weren't here last week because of those issues with scheduling and stuff.
Right. How long is this show again?
Go ahead. <laughs> I don't care.
Oh, by the way, Douglas, I've got your recording uploaded. I just need to give you the link to it. Okay.
Okay.
So
we'll get that.
Don't let it forget. All right. So London Vision. Wow.
You got there last Thursday, correct?
We actually got there Friday. I got there Friday.
Oh,
I know Yuri
right.
got there a lot.
Thursday.
Yuri got there earliest. He was the first one there.
Yes. Oh, Yuri, what were you there for?
set everything up to make sure that when everyone got there, that everything was ready, that they knew who we were and that they were actually, you know, that they knew we were coming. It's like, hey, guys, you know?
And that everyone had dinner and...
We had dinner on Friday night.
Okay.
After everybody arrived, because we went to... Well, I guess Paul arrived after we did.
Yes, I did.
Paul arrived with Andreas, which is Bantu, and Nils.
Yeah.
And, but anyway, we'd already been talking. Much of the teams had already been talking for quite a while before that. David MJ was mostly giving his data stream. I'm going to rename him Data Stream because he's just a nonstop data stream. Just completely nonstop. He never stops.
You know, you have people like that. I can be like that when it comes to parliamentary procedure. I love that stuff. All right. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
David MJ is really interesting. He never stopped programming through the whole event. Through LendedVation itself, he was programming, sitting there listening to everybody and programming. And Mike called the whole development team up to join him up on the stage, and he seemed reluctant to put down his computer and come up there.
That's the kind of dedication we need, yes.
So, I mean, he is really... So, anyway, you know, he's there talking about some concepts in 3.2 and some of the things that frustrate him and what's going to change is that sort of thing. But anyway, so once many of the people got together and the development team started showing up, then we finally went to dinner. Mike had shown up by that time. Mike showed up right before dinner, Mike and his colleague, Acid Burn. Well, you guys have seen some of the pictures from the dinner, so we had a pretty full crowd by Friday night.
Yeah, David, I was wondering, how much did you actually eat? It looks like you were spending all your time taking pictures instead of eating.
I didn't do too bad in the eating department. I mean,
did Francis force feed you or something?
No. Francis was always
at the
other end of
the table. Do we have any photos of the food?
Did
we grab any photos of the food? I don't think we have too much. I was actually wondering.
Yes, I just uploaded one last night. Take a look. It's Birdie eating it, though. I have two photos of Birdie eating food.
Careful. You don't want that food to get crusted on his fur.
No, really. I'll post the link in the chat room.
You do that.
Also one of Birdie drinking wine.
Yes, we do.
There was no lack of wine, right?
Right.
No, absolutely not.
No, Birdie got a little wine spilled on his fur also. That was kind of bad, but yeah. There's the link, Douglas. You can post that in the chat room. So that has all the links, or all the photos from LendedVation. And Yuri, you could see down at the bottom, there's a photo with him eating one of the that was Friday. So he was eating the food from Friday. I think that's Yuri's food that he's eating, actually, in that picture.
But Yuri's the one that starved.
Yes, I think he did. I mean, Yuri didn't eat a whole lot.
I just didn't eat at all. I wasn't feeling too great, and I was, the very first day, actually, nobody wanted to start first, and I kept saying, go ahead and eat, and everyone was sitting there until Dave Rathman finally said, all right, I'm digging in.
Got time.
So he started it.
See, I'm like that, too. I don't ever want to be the first person to eat, because I'm always worried that someone will yell at me for eating or being like a pig or something.
I don't care. I'll do it.
Good.
You know what was funny? Everybody was kind of quiet the first dinner. I mean, when we walked in, everybody was like dead silent. And so and it was kind of weird because, you know, everybody knew each other, but they didn't know each other because, you know, we knew each other over the internet and they never met.
For all you know, there were imposters in here and people pretending to be here for the free dinner.
You could pretty much test them out with knowledge and find out. But so everybody was pretty silent, but that was really the only silent time we had. Because then from that point on, the teams wouldn't shut up. I mean, literally.
It was only for a few minutes at the first dinner that it was silence. After that, everyone started talking with each other just about random things.
Secret stuff.
Yes, absolutely. I had a great talk with Mark the Demon at the first dinner, and that was, and everyone had that kind of things.
Mm-hmm. And of course,
I thought it was all fairly seamless. Yeah. Adam showed up, David said, Ash and I had shown up on Thursday to make sure that everything was ready, and Adam showed up a little bit after that, also on Thursday, and I thought it was fairly seamless. He just came in, and we all knew who he was. We had seen photos of him, so we were like, hey, there's Adam. Mm-hmm. And I think there wasn't an uncomfortable moment there at all, and we just picked up where we left on IRC. So it was just kind of like...
Yeah, I think it was never, ever uncomfortable because everybody just sort of knew each other. And even when you didn't know exactly what somebody looked like, well, it was funny, you know, you build sort of a mental profile of what somebody should look like if you haven't seen a picture of them.
Yeah, I know.
And then you try and match it up. Now, the funny thing is, Andreas is that one person where the mental profile matched exactly to what he looked like. He was like the only person that it actually matched. All these other people, I had built a mental profile of what they look like, and I missed completely. But not...
Yeah. It's the same problem with radio. You know, trying to listen to radio or a podcast, for that matter. Listen to audio, and then you finally see the picture of the guy. It's like, what?
And at a Saturday morning, there was a secret team meeting. And when you came in at the morning... Around 9 o'clock, the first people came in, and everyone was just sitting around with laptops and not talking, but using ISC to communicate with each other instead of talking.
Yeah, that was kind of funny. Everybody went on to their more comfortable method of communication, which is IRC.
Yes, absolutely.
I guess we finally started talking, but that was a really good meeting.
Yeah.
We discussed a lot of things, secret things I can't talk about, but it was fantastic. I think we made a lot of progress in some areas and decided on some things and talked about changes that will be made and all kinds of stuff.
One thing I wanted to talk about before we get into our main bit of the show today. If you are in the United States, or if you have been tracking the politics of the United States, or you are simply living anywhere other than under a rock in the bottom of the ocean, you probably know that we got about 4 weeks left until the big, historic, amazing, tide-changing, universe-moving, whatever you want to call it, presidential election right now. And so I've been thinking for quite a while... I've been thinking for quite a while about wanting to do some kind of a PHP BB Weekly event or contest or parody, something like that, of the election. And apparently some other people have already done this. Like, David, you mentioned, like, Michael said of some kind of a birdie for president Facebook group.
Tiki Michael, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's in the chat room right now.
Yes, he is. Like a
birdie for president Facebook group, I guess. You sent me the
yes,
link.
It is.
You sent me the link to it. It's...
Take it, believe it or not. Okay, Douglas didn't know that group existed until about 10 minutes ago.
Yes. Well, you see, I don't exactly use Facebook very darn much. You have to pardon me for that. What I'm going to be doing, I have not warned David about this. Like, this stuff has been recycled through my head for the last month or two, and I finally came up with how to make it work this morning. But we're going to be starting this Tuesday, which is 4 weeks before the election, we'll be launching a new contest for listeners of PHP BB Weekly, and I'm calling it the President Birdie Election Contest. And it's just basically kind of a presidential theme, and I've even got a great theme song to do when we mention it on the podcast, which you'll hear.
Oh, dear. I should be scared.
It's okay. You've heard it. It's not that weird. You've heard it before. But the idea is it's actually a birdie popularity contest. And so if you're a PHP BB Weekly listener and you are the proud owner of one or more birdie bears, if you own more than one, you'll have to pick one. But the idea is it's going to be a chance for you to actually enter your birdie as a chance to be elected president of... wherever bird, a president of Olympus, let's call it that. President of Olympus. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Essentially,
resident of Mars.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal. Well, it's going to be interesting because we're going to try to figure out how we want to make this work, and I'll put full details up on phpbbweekly.net on Tuesday once we finalize the contest and once I figured out how it's going to work, and that's the day it'll begin. But it's going to be like you'll be able to submit a picture of Birdie. For the birdie you're entering, you might actually want to come up with some kind of creative idea to, you know, dress him up or make him look presidential or just make him look cool or things like that. So in a way, it's kind of like a Birdie fashion show. But we're going to add in some...
You know, I have that picture of Birdie speaking, right?
Yeah, that's because I think we entered that Birdie, David.
Yes, yeah, that's my Birdie.
Along. I don't care. I'm going to be the judge, so actually I'm not judging anything. You know, it's kind of like a Birdie fashion show, but we're going to throw in some presidential stuff to it. So I might come up with a thing where you have to get like a few number of people to nominate them on a nominating petition, probably like 5 or 10 people or so to nominate your Birdie for the contest. And then for the Birdies that qualify, we're going to have their owners hopefully come on a future episode of PHP BB Weekly sometime this month or else pre-record something, which they can use to sort of, you know, make a short, like, campaign speech for their Birdie. I'm going to try to get David to open up a special sub-forum within the PHP BB Weekly forum on Star Trek Guide just for this contest. You'll just do a big campaign. And then on Tuesday, November 4th, throughout the day, it's actually going to be, like, 48 hours, I guess. So it'll be, like, November 4th on one side of the dateline through the end of November 4th at some other side. We'll figure it out. You'll be able to go and vote. We will have a special SurveyMonkey survey open where you will be able to vote for who you think should be elected President Birdie. And we'll have and I don't know what the prize is going to be. Chances are it'll be a very mundane prize, but it's going to be a fun little thing, you know, for a little Birdie fashion contest, and we'll do it alongside the presidential election. What do you think, David?
Interesting.
I didn't warn you about this because I only came up with this an hour ago.
Yeah. I was going to say, yeah, you definitely didn't tell me anything about this, so this is interesting. Not that that's a bad thing. I like being surprised. Well, don't get me wrong there.
You think that'll work?
We'll see. It's worth a shot.
Welcome to the SCOFF Evening News. Reporting from SCOFF News Headquarters in Washington, here is your host, Handyman.
Good evening, I'm Handyman with SCOFF News. The debate on Saturday morning answers a lot of questions and left some of us scratching our heads. Barack O'Birdie was the most prepared for everything. He sounds confident and ready to take on any issues that may arise. Lyndon Birdie Johnson has cookies, what more do you need? He also wants more Borg to come so we can have more pizza and soda with bendy straws. Alberti Einstein wants to hand out Smarties for everybody. Sir Birdie Jr. declined to comment on Roe Birdie versus Wade Birdie and mentioned locking people up several times. We will ask him for his stance on capital punishment later. We now send it over to Alfalfa in the field for his thoughts on the debate. Al?
I would say overall the debate went well. The candidates were trying to assure everybody that they would be ready and prepared to run Birdie Mons. Derek sounded the most confident and ready to conquer, and Birdie sounded like he, with the help of Smarties, could figure out anything. Sir Birdie Jr. sounded like he doesn't care about Birdies and spoke of locking people up on multiple occasions, never to be heard from again. Lyndon Birdie Johnson is looking out for everybody's best interests with pizza and cookies. As expected, the Borg question came up multiple times with widely varying answers. I don't know what to think. LBJ invites them, Beric has a battle plan, Junior somehow plans to lock them into a box, and Alberti wants to lock them in behind a level 15 force field. I'm Alfalfa, reporting live from the field. From SCOFF News, back to you, Bob.
Thanks, Alan, my name's not Bob. Anyway, in the wake of the debate, a straw poll was started that will run for 6 days. So far, Lyndon Birdie Johnson is leading in the polls, holding on to a slim 2-vote lead over the other candidates. Well, that's all the time we have now. I'm Handyman. For all of us here at SCOFF News, good night.
Because
I think we should stop holding you guys in suspense for so long. We should make the announcement of who won. So, David, are you good at doing a drum roll by yourself?
Oh, boy, a drum roll. No, I'm not. Let's see, that works.
All right. Where did I put the results? Oh, here we are. Okay.
I don't have a desk like that to slap on.
All right. Lyndon Birdie Johnson got 9 votes, 42%. Alberti Einstein got 12 votes, 57%. So congratulations. Alberti Einstein is the winner of the 2008 Birdie Mons presidential election. Woohoo!
Yay!
and joining us, reminder, is Jordan, who is the campaign manager for Alberti Einstein. And because David did not have a celebratory sound effect ready, I'll go ahead and edit one in later. So,
you know, I have his theme music you can put on there. Actually, what's kind of funny is several candidates asked me for the theme music that we used on the debate, but nobody actually used it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yes.
But definitely,
I think we just wanted to listen to it.
Yeah, I think so too.
Oh, boy. David, you've got this going on. But yes, we have everybody in the chat room has given congratulations to Jordan for his campaign. Of course, Lyndon Birdie Johnson ran a strong campaign. And I must, with all due respect, I was amazed at some of the wit that went into this thing. I was showing yesterday at my school, my technology teacher, this thing, and she loved the wit here. Lyndon Birdie Johnson is hilarious. Alberti Einstein is quite funny. Barack Oberti is interesting, although I don't know why you associated him with the Communist Party, but overall, a great contest. Lyndon Birdie Johnson did definitely run a very impressive campaign, heavy use of Photoshop, and interesting story about being a war hero. And as for you, Jordan, I think you have a lot of smarties you have to start giving out here. Although I'll pass on those because I don't really like Smarties personally. But
oh, by the way, the interview that we did at Glacier, that's going to be a video interview.
Ooh.
Not an audio interview.
Interesting.
Okay. Yeah, it's actually really good. I can't wait till Francis actually gets it posted. He needs to upload it and get it posted. Wanted him to do that right away, but it might have affected the campaign.
Anyway. Let's get on with our inauguration ceremony. And so this is what and so of course the most important thing for that is the oath of office. So I'm going to ask, I have no idea if he's actually doing this or not, but but Jordan, on behalf of your candidate, if you would like to raise your right hand and repeat after me. Let's see. I, Hank the Cowdog.
I, Hank the Cowdog.
On behalf of Alberti Einstein.
On behalf of Alberti Einstein.
Do solemnly swear.
Solemnly swear.
That I will faithfully execute.
That I will faithfully execute.
The office of President of Birdie Mons.
Office of President of Birdie Mons.
And will to the best of my ability.
And will to the best of my ability.
Preserve, protect, and defend.
Preserve, protect, and defend.
The Constitution of Birdie Mons.
The Constitution of Birdie Mons.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Douglas.
And with that, it's all, at this point you have an open mic if you'd like to give some kind of inaugural address. It's all yours.
All right, I wrote a speech. Birdie Mons, today is a day that will be long remembered in history. I have had the great honor of managing Alberti Einstein's campaign, and I feel that I have done my job well. Alberti Einstein has the great honor of being elected into the office of president for this great Mars country as the first ever Birdie Bear president and the first ever elected leader of Birdie Mons. I'd like to take a moment to congratulate the other three candidates that gave us a run for our money in this election. Lyndon Birdie Johnson had a very strong campaign based around cookies, and I admit that even though I campaigned against his cookies, I did fall for them once. This moment has been swept away into the depths of wherever chat logs go when somebody manages to find somebody online and starts the chat. We did not get the majority of the votes in the initial election, not by a long shot, as Lyndon Birdie Johnson got one vote less than us. He forced us into this runoff election, and he was a very popular candidate. Congratulations for making it this far, LBJ. Then there's Barack O'Birdie, who I said in the debate that I would select as my vice president if we had a vice presidential election. His campaign, based around communism, made some strong points and did win some votes for him in the initial election. However, not enough to beat Lyndon Birdie Johnson and make it to the runoff election. Barack O'Birdie, good job with your election campaign and good luck with your future political campaigns. I imagine the hardest working Birdie in this election was Sir Birdie Jr. He worked hard, literally, building his campaign, but it wasn't enough to win him any more votes than Barack O'Birdie in the initial election. Of course, we must respect the fact that Sir Birdie Jr. was the first to enter this election and ultimately made it possible. Thank you, Sir Birdie Jr., and better luck next time. Thank you, citizens of Birdie Mons, for voting Albert Einstein into office. I'm very, very glad that my ads convinced many of you that Albert was the best choice for president. I know at least one citizen was convinced to vote for me because of my television ad. Thank you, Frost and Rubin, who were my strongest supporters. They encouraged us and openly supported us in this election. Albert Einstein and I are very grateful to those who voted for us, and I hope I can show my thanks by making a great president for this country.
That was fantastic.
Congratulations. And we do apparently have some kind of a prize that we were able to scrape together. I wasn't expecting much. Splinter, Star Trek guy.
He's in the chat room, by the way.
He has some kind of a laptop, and I don't remember what it was. What is it? Splinter, help me out here. In the chat room. Also, I believe that either David or somebody is going to craft some kind of a presidential rank or something like that, which you'll be able to show off on Star Trek Guide for a while anyway. I'm not sure how long you're going to keep it, but it's like, you know, bragging rights, you know, something like that. So that's probably the more important prize, in my opinion. Splinter, help me out.
There were two birdies who were advocates of the continuing Birdie Mons forum, so I think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, if that ends up happening, I no longer have anything to do with it. But if Jordan, if you want to keep playing along with Albert Einstein in Birdie Mons, you can keep the forum going. Although David, you might want to rename the forum then from President Birdie Contest just to Birdie Mons.
Yeah, that's what I was going to do. Yeah, we'll figure that out at a later date, but I can say that I believe that the Birdie Mons itself will continue. So
we can stop wasting time and we can start. Now I can pass the baton over to him. So let me call him up. He's connecting. Ladies and gentlemen, live from Joomla Day, Vancouver.
Connection. No.
Will be. David Lewis, everybody! Finally, he's on. Hello, David. Hello, David.
Hey, David. Hey,
all right, are you on now?
Yes, I'm here, but give me just a second to try and... Oh, wait, here we go.
Okay.
I have to try and increase the sound because it's kind of out of here. Okay. Can you hear me all right?
An ambient noise sensor because I can't hear very much out there. Are you actually at a big event right now?
Yes, I'm here in the conference room, and everybody's going to lunch, so it's kind of loud at the moment. But
are you going to be getting lunch? Are we starving you right now?
No, that's okay. The lunch is about an hour, so I don't think we'll go for that full time.
Yeah, I will have to go by the end of the hour right now too. Okay,
yeah, so. Is Nils here?
Yes, I am.
Hey, Nils, how are you?
Fine, thanks.
So we've been passing the time. David, we've been passing the time. Yeah, we talked a bit.
Just wanted to get in proximity so I wouldn't lose the signal. All right. Brad Bing. Hey, Brad, say hi. Hold on. Here.
I've lost control of the show.
Hi, everyone listening in.
Hello, Brad.
I'm down in Vancouver.
Hi, Brad.
Missy, who?
I'm at the joint meeting at the PHP BB class as well.
Hold on.
So that was Brad.
David, we couldn't hear him.
Hi, and we're enjoying time here. Join me, these guys. Of course, everybody who's here, myself, Handyman, Francis, my brother, of course, and Brainy, our one new moderators from PHP.com.
Okay. David, apparently, I don't know how well the internet's doing here, but we couldn't hear whoever Brad is. I couldn't hear him.
Okay. Can you hear me?
You're very stuttery.
Yeah, okay, well, unfortunately, I didn't bring Ethernet cable wire. I would just plug in, but I'm actually sharing my internet off of Brad's computer.
Okay. So tell us, who's Brad?
Brad Baker is the he's a Joomla core team member. He's the administrator for the Joomla forum.
Wait, what?
I lost him.
Okay.
Well, I can finish a sentence for him. Brad Baker is leading the site and infrastructure team on the Joomla core team, and he's mostly converted the PHPV forums to PHPVV.
No, okay. It's in the car, and I don't have mine either. I forgot mine. Hey, Douglas, can you hear me all right?
Now it's better, yes.
Okay. Well, hopefully it'll stay that way. I know the internet's been a little iffy because it's actually sharing off of Brad's computer. But met several of the Joomla core team members here.
Okay. Let's start.
Notice Anthony.
How about let's go a little bit one at a time. So what have you what have they done so far? While we were waiting for you to come on, I briefly glossed over what the itinerary was as published on the Joomla Day Vancouver website. So what have you gotten to enjoy so far?
I would say the SEO topic is probably the most enjoyable because that's one that I had experience in before moving into programming years ago.
Yeah.
And I think SEO is probably the most misunderstood concept. You know, sometimes you hear people say, well, SEO is just a garbage. Well, that's just coming from somebody who doesn't truly understand SEO.
Mm-hmm.
SEO encompasses a massive industry, not just like URL rewriting. It encompasses anything that you do to improve your ability to be ranked on search engines, to improve your ability for search engines to index your site. That's all part of search engine optimization, which is SEO. But anyway, he went through a whole process of, you know, exactly how Google reacts to different URLs, you know, how they are affected in Joomla 1.0 versus Joomla 1.5.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, he went through all that, and, you know, how Yahoo Engine, the MSN Engine, and Google Engine react to the different URLs and some of the different things that people do to their sites, including metadata and everything. So that was the most enjoyable aspect of the so far.
And you've got security coming up right after lunch.
Yes, that should be interesting.
Security.
You know, it's I only been here for about 2 hours, so. I only got
then.
To through the presentations that were there. I might have to give another short recap next week because I've only got to see a short number of presentations.
Because it's been going on for almost 4 hours.
We saw the presentation on templating for Joomla.
Mm-hmm.
Where we basically went step by step on how to template for Joomla. We kind of yawned and went on to IRC. But
How much different is templating for Joomla versus templating for PHP-V3?
It's different as far as, you know, their tags are – the way they handle the tags and stuff are different. They don't use a kind of smarty type of system like PHP-VB uses. They seem to use more embedded actual PHP in the template itself.
Hmm.
So that was kind of interesting. The template information is controlled by a XML, whereas for PHPB, it's controlled using a text file, which, you know, lists your information, you know, what the name of your template is, and then you've got your separate image set and theme and template data. In Joomla, it's a, you know, it's of course a whole template. It is, of course, separated from the core itself, so you can modify the core, you can update the core, and your, you know, your output is not going to be dramatically affected by that.
Yeah, with regard to templates in 3.2, we'll hopefully see a change there really soon as well, which will make creating forms a lot easier, especially with regards to the template.
That's good. The other thing we watched was on language, building a multilingual website based on Joomla. What's kind of interesting is, like, Joomla, you have all these, like, they were showing some of the Joomla sites, and each one is so dramatically different. You know how PHPBB is, like, when you go to a site that has a PHPBB form, you can pretty much identify instantly. You know, it's got a layout that looks almost identical. You know, you have some sites that kind of do some things differently, but with Joomla, you've got every site that runs Joomla is, you know, who've done a little bit of work on the styling and the templating, they can look dramatically different from one site to the other. And you can't, when you open up these sites, you can't go, ah, that's a Joomla site. You kind of go, okay, that is powered by Joomla. Okay, interesting. You know, you don't automatically notice that. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
But that's part of the whole content management system, is that's what it's designed for. It's designed for your whole site.
Yes.
PHPB is a bulletin board designed to be a bulletin board. Yeah. And like one of the guys was doing a presentation up here, he's like, WordPress is designed to be a blog. It's going to handle and do blogs so much better than Joomla will. PHPB is a bulletin board system. It's going to handle and do bulletin boards so much better than Joomla will. But neither WordPress nor PHPBB are CMS. They're not content management systems, so they're not meant to control the content of your entire site.
Yeah, but this is exactly what I mentioned earlier. Why I'm hoping that a lot more bridges and sort of communication between projects will take place in the near future. Just like PHPBB is a bulletin board, WordPress is a blog, etc. You just have different software specialized in different areas, and you just need to get them to work together more closely.
Certainly it's fantastic to see two large open source projects working together like this, as I mentioned before, and hopefully we will get to see a little bit more of that, and also a little bit more community contributions from development minded community members in PHPBB's future. That would be really great to see. Joomla has a very, very strong development community. Members of the Joomla community are very, they're mostly coders, I would say, you know. I think it would be awesome if PHPB got a larger community of serious coders. And not just scripters or hobbyists, but actual career coders.
Yeah.
That's definitely something we're hoping to be able to sort of open up the development process a little more.
Make it a little bit more open source.
Open source, not what...
it is open source, but I mean like open
development would be the right term, I suppose.
Right, more open to the community itself, more open to development from the community.
Which most
open
source projects are.
Yes, exactly.
There are some open source projects that are like, if you know something and you want to submit a patch, submit a patch. we'll look at it.
Yeah, all you got to do really is look at the MediaWiki development contributors.
Yeah.
They have, I think last I checked, something like 46 contributors to their core.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot. I mean, especially when you look at PHPBB.com has a small development team in comparison. I mean, really it's, like six, seven guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's fantastic because it means that there's a standard for the code that can be more closely regulated and followed. In development, whereas if you have 46 people contributing code to a code base, you're going to have a tough time regulating the standards, the methodologies, and the whole process. It's going to be more difficult to regulate that. But the upside to that, of course, is that you can push the releases out much quicker. And the downside to the way PHPB is doing it is that the releases don't come out quite as fast. But you do have a serious upside, and that is that your quantity is so much greater in the core when they're doing that. Sure. Yeah.
This is your last chance, David.
Hey, Douglas, I have Brad Baker here. I'm going to turn the headset over to him for a moment and have him say hi. Hold on 1 second.
Hello.
Hello, Brad. Welcome to PHP BB Weekly.
Hey, thanks very much.
Thanks for joining. So we only have a few minutes left, but perhaps you'd like to tell us a bit about, you know, like what you do with Joomla.
Yes, I do a few things with Joomla.
A few, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, me personally, I've been involved with the project since the inception, since the start.
Mm-hmm.
That was back in 2005. I was actually one of the, among the people that moved from Mambo originally.
Mm-hmm.
In my day-to-day life, I do a few website development jobs for people, but less and less these days. Most of my work that I actually receive income from is related to hosting.
Mm-hmm.
I work for the hosting company that hosts, among other sites, the official Joomla websites.
Yeah, cool.
And that's my role related to Joomla as well, is the caring for the sites and infrastructure and the technical support services.
Mm-hmm. I'm seeing on the schedule you have a couple of spots on the Joomla Day itinerary, it looks like.
Yeah, I just said a general welcome to Joomla. Thanks for coming. Mm-hmm. How big is our project?
Security.
Who's never used Joomla before? And the next one is a more specific focus presentation on optimizing your Joomla websites performance-wise and security-wise.
Mm-hmm. Obviously a big topic for any open source project.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Well, so it's great to hear from you, and I think we'd love to get you on our show sometime to chat with you a bit longer if you'd like to join us sometime.
Yeah, I'd be happy to do that.
Get in touch with David.
I'll be in a different time zone on a regular basis, of course. But a lot of the guys like David know how to get in touch with me anyway.
Okay. So he often is the one that rounds up some of the more interesting guests, so I'll leave that up to him. But, yeah.
Am I one of the more interesting ones, eh?
No, we both round up guests as whenever we feel like it. But, yeah.
Okay. Excellent. Thanks very much.
I'll let you get back to getting ready for your next workshop, but thanks for joining us.
Thanks for talking. Bye.
Hello. Welcome to PHP BB Weekly, episode number 76. PHP BB Weekly, of course, the live podcast covering the PHP BB bulletin board software at phpbb.com. And this is a very special edition of PHP BB Weekly, because we have been covering the conventions, and we are now into the second of the three big conventions. Obviously, the Democratic Convention in Denver is over. Now we are here live at the Freenode IRC Convention Center, which is, and this is true, based in Houston, Texas. That's actually where Freenode is based. And, of course, other satellite locations worldwide where the great big Mod Authors Convention is happening right now. And, of course, the delegates are showing up, and they'll be doing a roll call vote soon. We do not know yet who the mod team's nominee for president is going to be yet. We should find out. And, of course, Eric has yet to select his vice presidential pick. We're going to see what the deal is. But we're here with the best political modding team in the universe today to comment on the speeches and the presentations and analyze everything here. And Paul is now telling me he can slap me three times at the same time now. But let's go around and introduce our political modding team that will be covering the convention today. So, the Mod Authors Convention is now two-thirds of the way over. And so, I'm going to ask David and Paul to sort of give us a rundown of how the convention's gone so far.
I like to think of it as two-thirds of the way completed.
Okay.
Now, of course, I know that Paul has been up for the last 7 hours since I've been gone.
8 hours, I think it's already.
Yeah.
A while. Yes.
I was up at 10 a.m. this morning, and it's now 6, so.
6 p.m.?
Yes.
Yeah. And, of course, it's 9 a.m. here. I left at around 2 a.m.
I think, or pretty close to it.
Yes.
For a while.
So I've been gone for about 7 hours or so.
I've actually not been watching most. I've hardly seen most of it. You know, I've sort of been paying attention just to the big speeches. I haven't really been very big speeches. I was watching the last hour before the show started, the session on ModX. And interestingly enough, it doesn't seem like it's been as active as I remember it having been last year.
It was this... Well, I was here, wasn't it really active? There was some small discussion about several things, but it wasn't really active with discussions. I think it was, if I look what I've seen for now, last year more active as this year. I'm not sure how it was last night.
Last night it was very active during the best practices. Of course, I was talking a lot, so there was a lot of questions and stuff, and we went through best practices. Actually, it was kind of interesting because I started late on best practices because I was out riding horses with another mod author who's joined us for the mod convention. But we got back and started, but there were some people who were thinking that best practices was like coding guidelines. So I'm like, no.
It could be.
What's that?
It could be.
Yeah. It can be, certainly that's part of it, but that's code formatting, really. It's not like best practices for coding. Best practices for coding would be like, what's best for scalability, what's best for compatibility, what's best for security, you know, coding concepts that will be able to adhere to those various things, which I...
Well, you know what I would, when you were asking me about what should be discussed at the Mod Authors Convention about a week ago, I was discussing a bit of this with you and how modding for PHP ABB3 really is very different from modding with PHP ABB2, partially because there's so many classes and things in PHP ABB3, and there's a lot more instances in PHP ABB3 where there are things sort of built to expect mods to come in. Like if for the admin panel, there's the whole module set up for the admin panel, the moderators, user control panel, and things like that. And so that, a lot of that kind of requires a bit more explanation about how you tie into some of these. I need a noun for this, but that PHP ABB3 offers.
Mm-hmm.
This sort of makes sense because I don't think it did.
Yeah. So well. Again, last night we had a pretty good amount of conversation, which I was surprised with because I knew that a lot of our audience would be in Europe, and being at about 10, 11 p.m. last night, it would have been pretty late in Europe.
Well, early morning
but
for
we,
them.
Yeah. But we did have a pretty good number of people here in the U.S. who were joined us, so that was good.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, I don't remember. I know that I was just a user the last time we did the Mod Authors Convention, and I was there for most of the time asking a lot of questions,
mm-hmm.
but I don't remember how many people were attending. Paul, do you remember?
No, not exactly, but I think it's really different as with this year. I think the number of people attending is the same around.
It seems a lot. It seemed like it was a bit bigger last year. There seemed to be a lot more guests, people that were signing in as guests, whereas this year it sort of hovered around between 40 and 50 people. So from what I've seen, that is, from the two times I've been on. Right now there's 44 users in the PHP BBMod chat room, and quite frankly, a lot of them are channel ops.
Yes, but I'm already 3 times in the channel, so that's...
Yes, Paul.
It's also...
Oh, man.
Yeah. But, again, I don't remember how many were here last year. I don't know.
No, I don't think we have the numbers for the last year, how many members there were exactly. So I think that's just a wild guess how many members there are really. But I think it will not really differ from last year or this year.
Yeah.
That's pretty different. I don't even remember who was actually there last year, except for mod team members. I know I was picking Smithy DLL's brain quite a bit.
That was Smithy was of course handling last year the complete convention. So that's And last year, I think I was also there all the time, but not sure.
You were there most of the time, yeah. I had a lot of questions about ModX because it was kind of a new thing. And
yes, absolutely.
They kept telling me, oh, ask. I kept thinking of new questions about ModX right when they would when Smithy would leave, I would think of all the questions to ask, and they were all like, ask Smithy.
Yes, yeah, I remember that, yes.
Yeah.
I also, that's not different from last year. There are this year, again, a lot of questions about ModX and that kind of related stuff. That's...
Yeah. Let's turn to our first piece of business.
Welcome to the SCOFF Evening News. Reporting from SCOFF News headquarters in Washington, here's your host, Handyman.
Hello again, I'm Handyman. Welcome to the evening edition of the SCOFF Evening News. In our latest breaking news, if you're a time traveler, the Bertie Mons election results are in. Bertie Mons was forced into a runoff election between Lyndon Bertie Johnson and Albert Einstein when election results proved no clear majority vote for a presidential candidate. The runoff election results were counted on November 8th, and here are the results. Lyndon Bertie Johnson received 42.86% of the vote, while Albert Einstein received 57.15% of the vote. We go to Alfalfa, who has a report from the field.
Bertie Mons has elected its first ever president, Albert Einstein, who is scheduled to be sworn in come January. Bertie Mons has been free from political turmoil that the Earthlings have been experiencing recently. Albert Einstein released his birth records early in the campaign, stating clearly that he is a Bertie Mons natural-born citizen. Albert Einstein has begun putting together his panel of advisors, including his new vice presidential candidate, 7 of 9. Who is also the choice pick from Lyndon Bertie Johnson in the Bertie Mons presidential debate. Alberti also chose Highway of Life as the Bertie Mons chief of staff. Alberti also met with various world leaders last week, including Ireland, England, Canada, and Spain prime ministers. With your final election report, reporting from the field, I'm Alfalfa. Back to you, Bob.
Thanks, Al, and don't call me Bob. In weather tonight, here at SCOFF headquarters, we have seen the full effects of Mother Nature teeming with global warming firsthand. In the last week, temperatures have dropped well below normal. Local weather stations predicted 5 to 9 inches of snow. However, SCOFF headquarters received more than 24 inches of skiable snow, making this the heaviest snowfall on record. SCOFF headquarters is expected to see 3 feet of snow on the ground by New Year's. Alfalfa has the story.
Reports of record snowfalls have been coming in from all over the northern hemisphere, including this actual Craigslist report from Jane Mayer of Miami Beach.
This is an advertisement for free snow. I can't guarantee that it won't be gone by the time you get here, so you'd better hurry. This grade A, purest quality snow is freshly harvested from my driveway. I handpicked it with my pretty much worthless snow shovel. Why buy a snowmaker machine when you can haul away pickup loads of the genuine article for free? Build top quality bunny hills and snow jumps in your backyard. Host an Olympic pre-trial competition at your home, complete with biased judges and reckless teenagers on snowboards. Coming up on Saturday, I will be hosting a free snow harvesting clinic at 6 p.m. as we are due to receive another 8 to 10 inches of fresh, high-quality powder snow. I will demonstrate the proper shoveling technique for quick and efficient snow removal. Bring your own shovel. Trust me, you'll really want to get it while it's fresh, and nothing beats the feeling of pride you get from enjoying snow that you've personally harvested. I'm feeling it right now. I will throw in a free bag of worthless snow ice melt that doesn't work at temperatures below 15 degrees for the first person who can find my car, which I believe is still somewhere in my driveway.
SCOFF headquarters has been receiving hundreds of reports of individuals offering free snow. It's a buyer's market out there. Reporting from the snow-covered field, I'm Alfalfa. Back to you, Bob.
Thanks, Bob. Well, that's all the time we have for now. Be sure to tune in next time to SCOFF Media for all your news around Bertie Mons. I'm Handyman. For all of us here at SCOFF News, good night.
David, I think you just got snow on the brain. Your brain is frozen.
Hey, when you're buried in this stuff, that's pretty much all you can think about. So it's...
Oh, boy.
What she read...
About time we got another SCOFF report. If you've been following after our election contest ended a month and a half ago, quite frankly, it's been over with. Bertie Mons became a separate forum on Star Trek Guide, but SCOFF just gave up the ghost 2 weeks before the election.
disappeared on us. Yeah, you know that
I have been chatting about the idea. You know, Scoff had some good stuff there, and we just heard that's probably your funniest one yet. But Snow Thing is pathetic. coming up with a way to revitalize Scoff and integrate it a bit more of our show. Yes or no? Who knows?
they're easy to produce. We just need to. So all I needed was really Francis to say, "Hey, Dave, let's do one," and then we did it. That was it.
I've been for the last 2 months.
I know. You know that free snow report that Jade Mayer gave? That was an actual Craigslist ad here in Spokane. I mean, I kid you not. That was the ad.
Yeah.
On Craigslist, it was pretty funny. There's lots of them actually that people are.
As you're stuck inside with snow, you guys tend to have a lot of free time to get very creative.
Actually, the funny thing is, we haven't been stuck inside. We've actually spent more time outside with the snow than inside. Because, well, of course, we've been plowing. I spent 2 days plowing, basically, because it was coming down so hard. If I don't plow this, I'm not going to be able to move any snow.
Whoever that is must have a brain like mine. You know, when I'm doing something that I don't like or can't really stand very much, then I just start coming up with puns and silly stuff. Which people hate me for, but it keeps my sanity going. It's nonstop. So it's probably what she did. She just plowing and she's like, oh, I could sell this stuff. I got so much of
this. That's what people do. They put all kinds of ads on Craigslist. Like, free snow.
Are you going to go to her free snow clinic tonight at 6 o'clock? You should.
Yeah, that would be fun. Yeah. Proper shoveling techniques, hey.
Or this kind of a snow clinic. Your snow looks red. How did you fix that? You're 6'9".
Yeah, so somebody was selling yellow snow. I'm like, oh boy, yeah. Okay.
That wraps up this special best of 2008 episode of PHP BBB Weekly. Be sure to visit our website at phpbbweekly.net for show notes to this show and links to the full episodes for each of the clips that you just heard. Our 2009 season launches on Saturday, January 3rd, with PHP BBB Weekly number 93, where we will discuss the now official retirement of PHP BBB 2 and how the teams will phase it out over the course of 2009. So be sure to join us for that. And of course, be sure to check out our brand new website, which launches later this week. PHP BBB Weekly is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Check out techpodcast.com for many other great technology podcasts. Thank you so much for listening and have a happy new year. We leave you now with this rather silly closing clip from episode number 73.
I am Captain Jean-Luc Picard.
Oh, wait, hold on. I have a photo of the orgy that went. Hold on 1 sec.
What the fuck?
There it is.
Wait a minute. I have a bad feeling about it.
There's a reason you have a bad feeling about it.
Yep. That looks like one of John's pictures of Bernie Mons.
Hey. Something like that.
You posted that picture already before, I believe.
Of course I did, just not in public.
Oh. It's not a problem.
Is that one Bernie sitting on top of the other Bernie's face?
That's why it's an orgy, isn't it?
Netherberg is going to go blind with this.
You should ask John if it is really porn or not.
Let's ask John. He seems to be online.
Chicken off.
Hey, John. Give the answer.
It looks like John don't respond yet.
So. No, he hasn't. Oh, well.
He's probably too busy with other things.
He's making more birdies.
There's something wrong with the way you said that.
Now, when I say making, I mean...
There's something wrong with the way you say that.
I don't want to think about it.